Edge with April Mahoney brings you back the spot, the place, the location, where the conversations are pointed and the guests are sharp and the responses are never dull. Today, we have Farhana Johnston. She is a physical trainer. I don't want to call her a personal trainer because she's working with the whole physicality of the body, the mind, the body, the spirit, the mindset, the diet, the nutrition. You know, she had to overcome some adversities of herself, so she's already walked this walk. So I think that she'd be the perfect person to talk to us about enhancing our lives, making changes for the better. Let's welcome her to the show. How are you, Farhana?
Hi, April. Thank you. Hello, brains. Thank you for inviting me to come on today.
Absolutely. I love the ombre, honey. That's just everything.
Thank you.
Well, you look like $5 million. Introduce yourself to my brains and tell them a little bit about you and how you show up on the planet.
My name is Farhana Johnston, and I have been a personal trainer, nutrition specialist for about 13 years. 7 years ago, I incorporated energy work into my modalities simply because I understood that there was a disconnect between wanting to get healthy and then the mindset that has to be attached to that. So I've always been under the concept of fix the mind and the rest will follow. So about 7 years ago, I started working on that to try to get people to make changes that were sustainable, not start a program, fitness, nutrition program, for a short period of time, but not deal with the issues that they definitely have in their mindset, right? So all of the drama that comes with why they were in the space that they were in to begin with.
So when you say mindset, you know, I'm working with Deepak Chopra's people, and the new woke word is consciousness.
Yes.
Sometimes we get stuck in a mindset modality. There's a lot of people that can't dial in, that can't focus. I get that. So they need to have that discipline. And one place that I fall short of the glory is consistency in my diet. I'm a great cook. I'm a great eater. But I fall weak. Sometimes I want some soda. And I find it's like somebody stuck an air hose up me and I just blow up. Sometimes I find that I want those carbs and I want those pastas. And another habit that I have is when I get in the car, I feel like I need to go to a restaurant. And I'll have $400 worth of food in the refrigerator. How can I shift my mind to be more focused, to be more disciplined, to be more consistent?
I love that you asked that question. So I'm going to address you and the brains crew with that answer. So basically, let's start with the soda. There are emotional responses that create that desire, and that includes the eating, not remaining consistent. A lot of times what happens is that people, they discipline themselves to the degree where it's either an all or nothing mentality. So the very first thing that I would invite you to consider doing is to take a look at what is emotionally happening at that moment that is making you crave that soda. And then there's some symbology to it, if you will, like where in your life are you not having sweetness of life? Where do you wish to do that? A lot of times what happens is that it's just a traumatic loop. And I say trauma loop very lightly, meaning that, you know, you get used to getting in the car and going to the restaurant. So every time you get into a car, you desire to go to a restaurant. So that's kind of what we call like a little loop. So identifying it, first of all, being aware of why am I doing it is the biggest key in all of it. Is why am I doing what I'm doing? And this is what you were talking about.
Because I'm spoiled and I'm greedy.
Okay, April.
I'm sorry to interject there, but you know what I had to tell myself is that when I was going to meetings out all the time. Where do you meet? Oh, girl, let's meet at the restaurant. Let's do this, let's do that. And so automatically it became a pattern.
Correct.
So now what I'm trying to do to break the pattern is eat before I leave. Because sometimes I'll go and just, have a bowl of chips and guacamole or whatever, or have a cocktail. But do I need to spend the money? No, because I have everything at home. Why am I doing this? Is it for the social aspect of it? Again, I agree with what you're saying. You've got to question yourself and figure out where is it? I've
Correct.
been at home all day. I've been lonely. So now I want to be with a bunch of people. I'm in the car. Let's go to the restaurant. That makes perfect sense to me. Perfect sense.
Right.
So, Fahana, one of my goals is to work on meal prepping. Again, like I said, I'm a mean cook, but what it can help me with is knowing what I'm going to eat, going in and getting it instead of perusing the cabinet, perusing the ice cream, the freezer, and all that, making, bad choices. I know what I'm going to get, and portion control, correct?
Absolutely. Yes. I'm so glad that you brought that up, because that is the project that I'm actually working on right now, is a meal prep class. And what it is not for me to tell you all the different things of the way that I eat, because there are 8 billion people on this planet and everybody eats differently. The meal prep class I'm getting ready to expose is actually about mindset, coming to terms with a lot of things before you actually get into the kitchen, because it can save you money, it can save you time, and it definitely saves you from making bad choices. If you don't have a plan on what you're eating for lunch and you're busy, you're going to snack on something. You're probably going to pick the wrong thing. And then by the end of the night, after you're done with your work, you might be too tired to make dinner. And then by that time, you're getting out the chips, the popcorn, the candy, and all of that, trying to compensate the lack of calories during the day. So we meal prep, and I've gotten so good at it that I can actually only spend a couple of hours a weekend doing it. And there are times where I absolutely hate it. Don't get me wrong. There's been some Sundays where I'm like, I don't want to do this. But if I don't do it, I'm going to be behind the eight ball the entire week. So
Right.
that's where the sacrifice is definitely worth the reward, right?
And again, like you said, it saves money. And I won't have to go to the restaurant because I know that, okay, I've prepared this, even juicing in the morning. I juice all week. I know what to expect. I know what the calories are going to be.
Yes.
So, and you can reward yourself. And then if I want to binge on the weekend, I know that I was good to myself Monday through Friday, and I can have a little lean, a little leanage on myself on that Saturday or that Sunday and keep it
Right.
consistent. But yeah, so definitely thank you for that. And we are definitely going to look for that. And I will post that. Brains, prep your meals.
Absolutely. Exactly. And so the biggest factor is to identify what is the loop, and then to be able to have a plan on what you're going to do instead. Because people don't plan to fail, they fail to plan. And commonly, this happens around the holidays, especially like I live in the St. Louis, Missouri area. And so our holidays are Super Bowl, Mardi Gras, St. Patrick's Day, where all of your discipline goes out the door, because you have then gone into that loop. So, as you just pointed out, April, excuse me, as you just pointed out, you now have a plan. You eat before you go. And that is kind of what I teach my clients to do, is to have a plan, because when you're in the midst of it, nobody's telling you anything, right? If we're going to go to dinner and I make it clear to you that we're going to go to dinner, April, but we are not going to order dessert, it makes you prepare for it. But if I were to tell you at the end of dinner, no, April, we're not going to have dessert, you're going to be like, I'm having dessert and I don't care who you are, right?
Right.
So not having a plan. The other part is that, the 80-20 rule is how I live my life, and that means that I can cheat 4 times. Because when you're so disciplined, this is why we fail, is that we get so disciplined because we're deciding that this is going to be the thing that's going to change us, and it doesn't change as quickly as we want, and then we turn the other way. We go the other way, right? We're going from fully disciplined to now I have no discipline at all. So if you incorporate like an 80-20 rule where 80% of the time you're doing well and then 20% of the time you like to just go and enjoy your life, then it takes the mental strain away from it.
Okay, and so that allows me some flexibility too. So I have something to look forward to.
Exactly.
It's like payday brains.
It's
You work
like
80%,
payday brains.
you work 80% of the time, and then that 20% you get a check, and then you just get to indulge. So when your clients are working with you, I'm sure that you do some sort of intake assessment for them. What sort of
Yes.
questions do you ask them?
I want to know very first of all why they want to engage in a program. What is their big why? What's their underlying motivation? I want to know how they're currently eating, what they're doing physically, so that I get a good enough idea of how to approach their situation because everybody is different. And so you can't just stick one type of program onto everybody. This is why they don't work because different programs were not designed for you in mind. So, for instance, if someone does not eat breakfast, which you understand the word break fast, you're supposed to break your fast, right? So if they don't eat breakfast, that's an indicator of how they're going to actually feed themselves later in the evening so that they're going to indulge in those late night snackety snack snacks, right? And just flipping the script of, okay, what can we do to change that, right? So I want to know what their injuries are. I want to know what they like to do because a lot of people think, I'm a personal trainer, and if you told me that personal training meant that I had to do cardio, then I would have probably picked a different field. So lots of exercise is good for people, and it's all about what are you willing to comply to? Because if you can comply, you'll stick to the program. And if you like it, you'll stick to the program even more. And if you can cheat 4 times in a week, then of course it's like, oh, I've got this, right, brains?
Well, we hope so. But like you said, you allow yourself some flexibility. You don't overthink it. You plan for it. And you also reward yourself. Pat yourself on the back. Have that conversation in the mirror. Hey, you know what? I did good today. And that's
Absolutely.
all we can do is count day by day. You have a long-term goal. I hate that. In five, when my little food counter goes, in 5 weeks, you have this or you have that. Fine. What I've tried to do is not even look at the number. I don't
Right.
even look at the scale. I look at how I'm feeling.
Exactly.
Emotional eating. A lot of people do it for a lot of reasons. My girlfriend asked me, she says, "So you're complaining? Are you eating for entertainment?" And sometimes I am. Sometimes I'm there with that Netflix and that bowl of popcorn, and a margarita. And next thing I know, there's kernels at the bottom of the bowl. I ate the whole cotton picking bowl. So you have to watch that. Drinking your calories too. That was another thing. I'm not a big alcohol consumer. I do like my cocktails. But for the most part, I would do the beverages. And now, when you go somewhere, they charge you $5 for one of these syrupy sweet sodas. And then here they come 2, 3 times. And next thing you know, but soda I found out was really no good for me because of the carbonation. And then I said, well, I'm not really thirsty. I'm still thirsty, so let me have some water. But I add the water to the carbonation and now I got the bloat. People don't
Exactly.
allow themselves the opportunity to reduce the bloat before you can even go into anything else. And body dysmorphia, the shame. of not looking at what it is. Every stretch mark, every wrinkle, every scar, every crinkle. Let me tell you, you got to wear them as a badge of honor, baby. If you got any life lessons, you look on those things and you say, wow, you know, look at what I've come, look what I've overcome. Wouldn't you agree?
That is so absolutely true. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to blame marketing and advertising because a lot of people say to me, well, I don't want to do this because the fitness industry, right? They have it in their head of what the fitness industry, they think they are doing. But in reality, it's the marketing and advertising. Because for whatever reason, if you recall Cosmopolitan way back when, you know, it's like, oh, we have to have the most physical, beautiful body. And in reality, that's absolutely not true because all of us, regardless of our sizes, have been loved before by someone, whoever that may be. And they don't care. So it's been, I think that the dysmorphia has actually occurred because we pay too much attention to what we think is supposed to look like. And in reality, you know, you live in your body. And like you said, April, everything is a badge of all the things that have happened to you. And one of the biggest things is to accept where you are, because until you can accept where you are, you can't move forward. Because you're never in acceptance of where you are today. It's okay if you have weight to lose. It's okay if you're whatever it is that you're doing, I accept it because only if I accept it can I move forward and change.
Well, and then the outside influences. Are you doing it for someone else? You know,
right.
Are you getting that Botox shot? And there's, I'm dissing Botox. If you need a little nip and tuck, go ahead and do it. But are you getting that because you're trying to look 20 years younger and somebody look at your neck and your hands and they can tell that you're 40 years older? Are you doing it because you want to look good at the high school reunion? Are you doing it because you're in competition with these supermodels? And let me tell you, they got the booty injections. They're using filters. Their breasts are not as perky as you think. You know, all these things are outside influences. And we've never really learned to embrace and love who we are. I always say, to whom much is given, much is required. And the struggle is real.
That is absolutely true. A lot of times we've been designed to look for outside validation. And that's a lot of the reason that I think that people are doing those types of things, because they feel like if they looked okay on the outside, that that would make them feel better on the inside. But it doesn't work that way, does it, April? You know, the validation has to come from within. That's going back to the acceptance I was referring to. It has to come from within. Only then will you receive it as so within as without, right? So that is the biggest hurdle, is those outside influences. And then I'm going to go ahead and share here that a lot of it has to do with the way that our moms perceived for us, right? Like, I had a client years ago that basically refused to eat healthy foods because her mom forced them on her as a child. There are women that I have met in my life that, you know, were required to be thin, and because the generations have changed now, but I'm sure that moms had every good intention for their daughters, not realizing the trauma that they actually created. And, you know, you have to eat this, you can't eat that. What do you mean you're getting another, you know, bowl of ice cream? Those pants used to fit last week. They don't fit you anymore. And I think that the intention was, and this is where the unfortunate outside influence comes from, is the intention is that you have to be a certain way in order to land a partner. And that's where it all was created. So mom was actually looking out for you, but she didn't have the best, she had the best intentions, but she didn't realize what she was doing. So a lot of times people come to me because they have to undo all of that. I'm going to call mama drama.
Exactly. And you know what? You can do all of that because I work in Hollywood, baby, and I see them and they be looking like brand new money. And they man still cheat on them. You know, so that doesn't equate to what is required to sustain and maintain a relationship. You've
Absolutely.
got to love yourself. And I know sometimes we say we're the hardest critics on ourselves. We overthink it. We overthink it. Stuff happens in life. We all have a soul contract that we have to fulfill. And to whom much is
Absolutely.
given, much is required. You know, the struggle is real. I tell you again,
It
it is.
is real.
Everybody's gonna go through some stuff. And if you don't, then you know you're not even living. You're not even
Right.
existing. And sometimes to look at where you were and to look at where you are, it needs to be celebrated. A lot of times people don't get over the hurdle. You know, they stay stuck. And we can't stay stuck. We cannot stay stuck because life is moving on. It's progressing. Then you got these challenges, you know, back, like you say, in the cosmopolitan days, it was an era of heroin chic. Oh, you needed to be super twiggy thin,
Right.
you know, a minus zero. Now we're in the age of celebrities where they are, you know, twerking like the washing machine on television and they're 400 pounds.
Right.
Newsflash, brains. I, you know, you can get mad at me if you want to, but it's not cute. It's not cute. And I'm not talking about the weight. I'm just talking about why do you have to over exaggerate, overdo it, brains, you know, and it's not a good look. And not even for yourself because it shows up as insecurity. You know, the perfectionist. Oh, it's got to be perfect. No, you're saying that nothing is good enough, that it has to be perfect. There's nothing on the planet that is perfect. Nothing. Everything has a flaw or a blemish. But that's what makes you unique. That's what makes you organic. That's what makes you beautiful. You know, I don't like these mole stuff on my face right here. And then I said, you know what? I said, Mama, I don't like that. She said, but you know what? Each one of those is a kiss from God. So when everybody's standing there, he's going to know exactly who you are and how to find you. It's your testimony. Now you are able to carry the torch for somebody else. What would you say to a woman that's really struggling? I mean, she is, you know, she's looking at herself in the mirror. Maybe she's got some, you know, some man problems, a substance abuse problems, financial problems, and she just feels like she's buried. What would you say to her, Farhana?
I would tell her that there's hope and that everything needs to happen in layers. I've been in those situations where all of it has fallen apart, right? But there's that fire. Right. We're really good at beating ourselves up, but the minute that someone beats us up, then we start to act advocate for ourselves, right? And so to be able to find that inner fire, to look at each aspect of life, first of all, it has to be a true desire to change. But to look at each aspect and say, what is it going on? Because everything's a mirror. So if you have a bad relationship, if you with finance, with abuse, substance abuse, with men, the first question is that where is your relationship with self? Because once you start cleaning up your relationship with self, then you're not going to be in a situation where you would actually take that from anybody, right? Especially like a man. A lot of times we feel like we're not worthy. A lot of it has to do with our religious upbringing. We are not allowed to want and desire for ourselves. There's a lot of people pleasing that's going on here, where if I just take care of you, then I'll find happiness. So that one person that's struggling, I would ask them what their truest desire is. What do they really, really want? And a lot of times people can't answer that.
Girl, I got a laundry list.
Exactly.
I'm moving Target, but you know what? I'm a big dreamer. And people now don't dream anymore. They just run like mechanical animals. You
It's
know,
so true.
this is what this is supposed to be. This is what everybody else is doing. There's no critical thinking. There's no conversation. There's no dialogue. You're not even able to agree to disagree.
Right.
The political climate. I mean, you know, we got two strange people running to our country, and nobody else is trying to mentor the next generation of leaders. I don't see it.
Exactly.
Women on women. You know, now you have to be very careful. You can't say he or she. You have to say we, they, our. I went to the bathroom at Disneyland and I had to look to see if it was co-ed. Because you don't, well, I mean, you bring in your little kids in there and you don't know what they're gonna liable to see.
Walk into.
The world is ever evolving. And I'm
Right.
not being critical of it. I have to go along with it. You know, you gotta go in line and you're gonna get left behind. But you still need to be able to make a decision. And no is a complete sentence. You can say no to anything and anybody and feel good about it. You don't have to feel bad. So my grandfather used to tell me, baby, don't inconvenience yourself to please somebody else. You don't have to be rude or disruptive, but no, this doesn't work for me. It doesn't feel right. You know, not at this time. You can say that. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. But we have a tendency, again, going back to the behavioral patterns that we have lived in, that when we say no, we are not giving someone else what they desire, and then it makes us feel bad. But somebody has to be the bad guy in the story. So whether it be you or that other person, right? And I would say, let you be the bad guy. Because if you're saying yes to everything, then you're saying yes to everything. We have to learn how to say no. And this is a very common thing. What just dropped into my field is very commonly, recently, a lot of people, they have a desire to do something better in their lives, physically, mentally, spiritually, but their partner isn't on board. And so I've had to have those very intimate conversations with my clients and say, you can only go as far as the people in your house are willing to go, because you're always going to get into that judgment of, oh, you're eating salad and I'm eating a burger, you know, and all of those things. And commonly that happens around the holidays where you're used to getting seconds and your grandmother, your aunt made your favorite casserole, and you don't want any more because you're trying to lose weight or you're trying to be healthier. And then they get offended, and then it hurts your heart to hurt their heart. So then you compromise yourself. So then you're sucking up all of your own emotions, not realizing why it makes you feel so bad to be a pleaser to other people, when in reality, you should stick to no. It is a complete sentence. And no, thank you. Not today. I always tell everybody, just blame your trainer. Blame your trainer. Tell them that I am the biggest B in the world and just blame me. Oh no, if I eat that, she's going to make me do 1,000 burpees. Oh no, if I eat that, she's going to see it on my food log. Sometimes it's just easier to blame somebody else because it takes the pressure away from you.
It does. It's diversion. So, what do
Right.
you say to the person that is on the flip side of the spectrum that has now achieved their goal? Lost the weight, eating good, looking good, feeling fine, like you. You greet a new individual. It's no longer the representative that you've been sending to that office. This is a new person. And there is an adjustment there, too. I tell this story
There.
all the time. I got a girlfriend that was 330 pounds, I think. And she had this beautiful raven tattooed on her back. Then got a wild hair up her ass and said, you know what? I'm gonna have gastric bypass. Lost the weight. That raven now look like a crow. She lost the weight, but she lost herself as well. She didn't like how she looked thinner. She was getting so many compliments. You know, her clothes were different. Her whole, again, that mindset, it was set on what I, this expectation that she had. But it really wasn't reality. And then reality came and slapped her in the face, and now she's unhappy there. So how do we meet and greet the new person after we get through all of these obstacles and challenges? How do we welcome them into our life? Because that's an adjustment too.
So going back to the story, it sounds like, people who need surgeries for purpose of their own physical health, like it's going to be a problem if they don't lose the weight. But when you do things too quickly, you don't bring all selves with you, right? So like somebody who gets to that point, if they get to that point very quickly, they haven't done the emotional work that goes along with that. So if that person was sitting in front of me, then it would be because you can have body dysmorphia even when you're skinny. I had that same issue where I was convinced at a point in my life that if I ate a Snickers bar, I was going to blow up like I had before. So there's a lot of emotional baggage that needs to be unwound in that. And what hasn't been corrected from just what you're telling me is we haven't learned how to accept being the new you. So that would be the way that I would welcome them in, is to say, what does this new person look like, right? What does this new person do? Because people take all of their old baggage and bring it into the new world, right? And
That's
so,
with relationships, that's with finance, because that's that conditioning.
exactly. So that's what needs to be undone. When people come to me and they want to look a certain way or they want to lose weight or whatever it is, I have them start envisioning what that looks like. What would that person that has 50 pounds less do so that it's not a new thing to them? Because what it feels like is that they just had their head down and they were grinding to get to their destination without actually thinking about what would happen when they get to their destination. Right. So yeah, you went to Disney World, right? So you had an idea of what was going to happen at Disney World. It wasn't like you were going and then all of a sudden you get there and you're like, what do you mean that it's Disney? Right. So that's kind of the same
Like
thing
the little 3 and 4 year olds, they think Mickey Mouse is this big, and they get there and they see this big person and they have a meltdown. They're like, this is not what I,
Exactly.
right.
Exactly. So getting a good idea of what that looks like, who is that person, and having that vision in their forefront so that when they're working towards their goal, they are starting to grow into their new britches.
That
Yeah,
makes
that's
perfect
what came
sense.
up.
So when we were in the green room talking, you told me that there's been some revelations since the last time we talked, some good stuff. Share that with us. What's going on?
So, ever since after I spoke to you, I have come into my own with my desires of what I want to accomplish in my life. And by that, I mean that, like, just I can relate this to like a weight loss, right? Where I want to, I've been a personal trainer for 13 years. I know how to train. I know what to do. I know how to coach. But I'm coming into a new arena of now having to promote myself in advertising and marketing in things that I don't like, right? And we've kind of talked on that about why I don't like the sleaziness of marketing. But my desire to help people has superseded any fears that I have. Right, any of the fears. So after we met, and I remember you telling me that you had, high hopes for me, I had to grow into those britches, right? I had to show up and go, if this is what I'm supposed to do, if I truly desire to help people globally, I have to start envisioning, what does that new person look like?
Absolutely.
Because if I bring in the baggage of not being good enough or being afraid to be on camera, or what are people going to think about my the way that I come about things, approach things, I had to get over the judgment, right? And it's not like I haven't gotten over judgment before, because as a personal trainer, there was a level of judgment where, you know, my friends would judge me because, oh, I'm a personal trainer. Oh, you're not going to drink this and you're not going to eat this. And I went through a period of peer pressure where I actually gained weight because I didn't want to be judged. And it was just easier to eat the damn thing than to explain to them that I wanted a healthier lifestyle, right? So I relate fitness and business a lot, and these
I
are the
want to dial
two.
back to something that you said. You know, that you used a term, you said sleaziness of marketing, and people think sleaziness of sale. But what we have to incorporate in a business is that you are providing value. Okay, I wish you were here with me so that I could invest in you. I can't do it online. It doesn't work for me as well. I need to be in there. I need you to be kind of in my face. I need to, you know, I need that energy connecting with me to really perform to the peak, to my peak. Same thing. I need to be in the room with you. I need to talk to you. I need to not change you. I don't want to sell you. I don't want to push you in anything that you don't want to do, but I can provide value. And if you feel that that is valuable and that we're in alignment, then you're creating a win.
Right.
That is exchange of energy, money, time, space, love, sex, passion, whatever it is. If it's valuable to you, again, like you said, I'll just eat the damn thing.
Exactly.
And people are so concerned about what other people think, but other people aren't living your life. They're
right.
not living your life. And to be strong, I remember I was bullied. I'll tell you guys a story, Brains. I was 14 years old. I was at an event. And I walked across the stage. And I got booed. I was like, what the hell? They can't be talking about me. And you know what I did? I took a deep breath. I threw my shoulders back. I straightened my dress. I held my head up. And on that day, I promised myself at 13 years old, that life would never be contingent on what somebody else thought, because I thought. But I also had to come to the realization is, what was I exuding that made people feel this way? I had to take ownership. I had to take responsibility. So I had to check myself. I found a balance at 13 years old, and I thank God for that. Because I know people at 60 years old that have no idea, no clue. So you need to check in with yourself and say, you know what, consider the source. Why am I doing this? Is this valuable to me? Does this make me feel good? Do you even know what a good feeling is without
right.
being, you know, in the arms of someone, being somebody's side piece, you know, spending a whole bunch of money that you don't have? Drinking, drugging, does that really feel good? Because afterwards, you don't feel good.
No.
You're sad, you're depressed, you're lonely. Now you're chasing it. Okay, so maybe when I do it next time, I'll feel a little bit better. Next
right.
time I eat that Twinkie, I'll feel a little bit better. Well, it doesn't feel better. It feels worse. So sometimes
right.
you just have to step back and say, you know what, I own this. I've done this. I've done this to myself. I've allowed others to invade my space and do this, and it doesn't feel good. But what we want to do is we want to talk to you and change the subject a little bit about what feels good to you. What makes you feel good, Farhana? What lights you up?
I get lit up when my cats, first of all, I have three of them, and they bring me so much joy. My yard would be second. I love being in the yard. Spring is here. We got spring early. My tulips are blooming. But really what brings me the most joy is to have an impact on other people's lives. That one little bit of something I said, and maybe I said it in passing, maybe I said it deliberately, but that little thing that made such a change in someone's life, that lights me up like nobody's business.
If you were a appliance in the kitchen, what appliance would you be?
I'm gonna go with whatever came first, and I'm gonna say a hand mixer. I don't know why.
Hand mixer. Wow, you like to mix it up. That's good. I want to be the air fryer. If you were a color, what color would you be and why?
I'm gonna have to say red at this time, and that can change because red is the symbol of power and the blood that goes through our body. And it's a symbolism of being accepting that I live on this planet. I am human. I have desires, and I am worthy of receiving everything that I desire. So I'm gonna go with red today.
If your words had an odor, what would they smell like?
I'm gonna say that I'm an acquired flavor, so probably the odor would probably be sushi because I'm not for everybody. And you're either gonna like it or you're not gonna like it.
That's cute. That's cute. I like that. I like that. If you were able to time travel, past, present, future, where would you land?
So what dropped in right away when you were saying that is I had a vision of coming to this planet to reseed the Earth after the dinosaurs. So I would like to actually go back in my full consciousness and see that happen.
Wow. Not me. I want to be like in 3000. I want to be out there. I want to see because what's done is done, honey. I want to do some new stuff. I want to see what is going on. What planet are you from?
I don't know what planet I'm from. Every time I ever touch point on like source point, I always get the sun. So do
Wow.
I have to be a planet or can I just be the power of the sun?
Power of the sun, and you can be the whole solar system if you like. I was like, yeah. And the way that people were lined up to see the eclipse, that was amazing. That was amazing. And in
Yeah.
closing, Farhana, what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want people to say and think and feel about you?
I want to make an impact. I want to be the butterfly effect. I want when I die for people to say that one thing or just to be in my awareness that was the one thing that became a pivotal point in their lives. And I don't say that to be egotistical, but I've been given a lot of gifts that I have not owned up to in thinking that it's egotistical. But I've been an observer for many, many centuries, past lives and that. And I came to this planet to, raise the vibration of humanity. So if I succeed in any form or fashion to even one person, then I would call it a good legacy.
Well, I believe that you've done that because your red light fire that radiates the sun. You want to mix it up. You eat well. You're motivational. You care. You sacrifice. You've overcome and you're pouring into others. So, I mean, that's the total recipe for success. I'm proud of
Thank you.
you. I'm glad
Thank
that
you.
you're able to, find value in what you're doing, step outside of your comfort zone because it's difficult. You encourage people. You personally train them. And we're not just talking about your body, but your mind and your heart and your spirit, your confidant. You're holding pretty much their future in the palms of your hands. That's a big responsibility.
It
So
is.
again, for you to say, hey, you know what? I'm gonna feel the fear, yet do it anyway. It takes courage. It
It
takes
does.
courage.
Thank
So I'm
you.
very proud of you.
Thank
Be sure to tell us how to get in contact with you. I want people to consult with you, work with you, follow you online. Brains, she's out there exposing herself now. You better take advantage of this. How do they
you.
find you?
You can find me on Facebook primarily, Farhana Johnston. Lucky thing is that there's not that many people out there that have my name, so that should be very easy. I do offer like 20-minute consultations if somebody is interested but doesn't know what I do. And I can drop that link for you at some time, April, so that you can get directly connected to that. I'm also working on some master classes, courses on meal prepping and stress management. So you definitely want to follow me on Facebook, so that you can get info on that, or send me a direct DM so that I can message you and let you know when I'm ready to roll out those products.
Well, I'm glad, and I'm going to follow you. I'm going on vacation, but I hope that you record it so I can follow you afterwards because I am going to indulge. I'm going to Thailand and I'm going to eat everything but the bugs.
Awesome.
But I am going to pray in temple and I am going to send up a burn offering because there's
That's
also sacrifice, brains. And I'm telling you have to sacrifice. We are
true.
here. We are eating to live. We're not living to eat. And we don't have to suffer and we don't have to be in pain. There's not one person on this planet that is unscathed, that is unblemished, that has not had some sort of trauma. I don't care if it was like me on that stage that day, but I overcame and I learned a
Exactly.
lesson and I took responsibility. And I'm hoping that all of you can do the same. So go do what you promised me you're going to do. You're going to love, like, share, and subscribe. You're going to follow Fahana. You're going to look at who you are in the mirror and identify, blow yourself a kiss, tell yourself you're wonderful, because I think you are. Thank you so much, Farhana, for being here on the edge.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. We'll talk again soon, brains, like tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.